This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Mike Shope.
What has happened? Mike is not here. You do not call me to find out who to play in fantasy football.
And the Bulldog.
That is just not how this works. I don't know anything, nor do I care.
On WGR.
Gallman, save me now. Minshew, great mustache. There, play him.
Sports Radio 550.
You were exposed the other day with that story about your hockey team. Yeah. You misread the calendar and the finals of your hockey league, and
right, dumped all my stalwarts for guys who were playing on Sunday, and then it turned out there were 4 more days of games, and I got my head caved in. Yeah,
A logistical error.
Yeah,
in fantasy,
it does directly not so much imply. I mean, it just flat out states that I was really trying. Because, I mean, I overhauled my roster at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Well, no one's above it. As I mentioned to our next guest, In his league, I traded my first-round pick by mistake. So I'm not here to look down on you. Mike Dempsey is with us on the West Her Hotline. Jaguars today. Also, you can hear him hosting the Football Diehard Show. MD_1010XL. Mike, how is life in Jacksonville?
It's good. How'd you trade it by mistake? What happened?
I woke up in the morning and did the thing I do every time, which is start my day by looking at the My Fantasy League app. And there was a trade offered to me, a draft pick in the middle of our draft last year for a first next year. And I'm like, oh, great. But I read it backwards.
Oh, you thought you were getting the first.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. So, I don't know. It's embarrassing. I'm trying to impress you. I'd rather just impress you than win.
You impress me anyway.
So nice. So, I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm sort of excited to talk to you, not just because of fantasy football, but also the push-up thing. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure, if you want to.
You've been public about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. I started last year. I did it for 1 year. It was tough to keep up the pace, but I did one push-up on January 1st. And then I added one every day. So I did 2 the next day, 3 the day after, and on and on. And eventually I figured out in my head that would come, or on paper, whatever, would come to 67,000 for the year. And then I calculated if I got like 9 days ahead of pace and stayed there, I'd do a nice round 70,000 for the year. So that's what I did.
Yeah, it was a leap year, but you didn't even need to know that. You went past the number anyway.
No, I had the bonus day in there, but I was doing like 370 push-ups a day. The final 10 days or so of the year, man. It was no joke, let me tell you. But, you know, as a fat boy, I needed to lose some weight, so it helped.
It definitely does help. Yeah, no question.
It was part of a regimen for you, right? It wasn't the only thing you did?
Oh, no. I was, I just literally got back minutes ago, hit a large bucket of golf balls. You think it's not exercise, but if you're out there, like in Florida, man, it's already been up like 85, 90 degrees with all the humidity. It's only like 75 today, but you're out there for about an hour and 15 minutes, and I go for a 6-mile walk, like a, you know, kind of like a race walk. I can't run. My knees are no good. So I do 6 miles a day, and I go to the gym a few days a week. So it sucks.
So you know I'm doing this push-up thing that I got from you.
Oh, you are? Okay, so you're on whatever you are, like
134.
Something nice.
Yeah.
It's awesome. How you feeling?
Okay.
Long way to go, bro.
Just okay.
Yeah. All right. You're right. The number's in the 66,000 and change range. That's right. You just take there's a way to calculate
it. I had the leap day. I had the extra day.
You had the extra day.
Or 67
and no,
grand, yeah.
And no days off in there? Like, that's a grind. Like, I do 100 a day and have been since, I don't know, February probably, but okay. I take the weekends off because really for me, Mike, both Mikes, it's during the show. Like I'm up here in my attic for more than a year now. We take breaks and I just get down on the floor and I do 25 to 40 push-ups and I do that enough times to get to 100 during a day and then I'm done. Saturday and Sunday, there's no show, so no commercial breaks. I can't bring myself to get on the floor on a Saturday.
No, you're right about that. I broke it. I was doing sets of 30 mostly, so, you know, up to like a dozen sets of 30 or whatever, and I would do every time I went to break. Everybody at work knew, get out of Mike's way, hitting the floor, right, doing push-ups, and the same thing. But I didn't take any days off, because then you got to double up on some days, and you got to get way ahead, and I was not interested in that. So either way, it's a pretty good little thing. It's just mental, right? If you did 10 one day, you can do 11 the next day, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Last question. What are you doing this year for a number, since that's over?
I'm not like really... I was shocked that I'm 52, bro. I'm shocked that my shoulders held up for a whole year doing that. So I could not continue that pace. I was going to try to do it was something like 220 a day would get you to 80,000. And I figured I was already doing 3-something. So for about a month, I did 220 a day, but my shoulder and my elbow had all kinds of tendonitis. So not doing that, still going to the gym, still doing all the rest of the stuff. But, you know, it is what it is.
I'm glad to know. Thank you, Mike. And thank you for being the inspiration for me.
Hey, you're welcome.
Bulldog really wanted Travis Etienne on the Bills.
Mm.
And we don't know for sure that he wouldn't have been on the Bills had the Jaguars not picked him. What did you think of that?
I'm not surprised that they took him. Clearly, Urban Meyer let you know he coveted Kadarius Toney. They want to use Travis Etienne as kind of a Percy Harvin, you know, Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades, whatever phrase you want to use to describe it. I thought if they were going to go running back early, Urban coveted speed. I thought he was not going to go Javonte Williams or Najee Harris. Those guys are too similar to the game of James Robinson. So, you know, and people are focusing in on the part of the quote that Urban Meyer said where they're going to use Etienne as a third down back. He also said that they're going to play Robinson and Etienne together a lot. So either both in the same backfield or Etienne split out in the slot. He's going to get handoffs on reverses. He's going to get a lot of passes. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is used to dumping it down to him and watching him make big plays with 78 touchdowns. So, it's not by the book for a team that has as many holes as they do to spend first-round capital on a running back. But if they were going to take one, he was the guy. So that was not shocking.
Wow, something I have in common with Urban Meyer. I mean, our paychecks don't line up. There's a few more zeros on the end of his, I'm sure, than mine. But that's exactly what I, for months here, Mike, talking about ETN on the Bills, Mike Shope and I would argue about running back. Like, I'm not thinking about him as a running back. I'm just thinking about him as a stick of dynamite to throw into my offense. And sort of, you know, our Sal Capaccio would say Isaiah McKenzie with a turbo button. That's exactly what I was looking for. So it's kind of cool to hear that Urban Meyer is planning to do that sort of stuff with Etienne.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He did that with Curtis Samuel at Ohio State. He's always had a player like that, be it a wide receiver that he could line up in the backfield and felt comfortable handing it to him a few times, or in this case, they're just using a running back with good receiving skills for the same role.
Bulldog wanted ETN here. I wanted Curtis Samuel here. You would have taken that too, Chris. But
sure, I would have. Yeah.
That didn't happen. Mike Dempsey with us. Mike, in a rookie draft, turning to fantasy, in a rookie draft, is Trevor Lawrence, in a of the quarterbacks, regardless of format, is Trevor Lawrence the number one rookie quarterback for you in fantasy?
He is for me because his floor is so high, right? I think he has a high ceiling. And arguably, Fields and Lance have higher ceilings, and if that's the game you want to play, you know, if you're just playing long-term, then trade back a few spots. Lawrence comes off the board. I have yet to see a rookie draft, and I've been in a bunch of them already, where Lawrence goes behind either one of those two guys.
Okay.
So, you know, for me, and I think the Jags have a decent array of pass catchers there, and they're obviously going to continue to build that around Trevor Lawrence early in his career. But, I mean, he's been the guy for as long as we can remember, all the way back to high school, and he's always lived up to it. You know, I understand Justin Fields has been phenomenal at times. He's got great running ability. Trevor Lawrence is no slouch in that department either, but I'll grant that Fields' upside is higher. But playing in Chicago, I don't know if it's the quarterbacks they've had or playing outdoors in those conditions, but when's the last time they had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns, right? I mean, it just doesn't happen. So I think Lawrence will ultimately settle in as a guy who throws 35 to 40 a year for a good stretch. Lance is a complete mystery. You like the pairing with Shanahan, but you also don't like the fact that he's only thrown, 318 passes in his collegiate career. You know, and these guys are, the top guys are throwing more than that in a single season easily. So, yeah, for me, I think the safe route is to go with Trevor Lawrence. You can pick your poison between the other two if you want to go on pure upside.
What about Zach Wilson? Where does he fit into that?
He's QB4. I think, you know, people are kind of downgrading him a little bit. I think he's got decent mobility. Ran for 8 touchdouns last year. I don't expect him to be a 500-yard rusher, but look at what they already have there. If Corey Davis can continue his mid-career renaissance there, at the moment they have Jameson Crowder on the roster. They might ask him to take a pay cut, or he could be gone, but they draft Elijah Moore. They bring in Keelan Cole. That's a decent top four wide receivers, and he's insulated. He was the second pick in the draft. He is going to get every opportunity to prove that he's the guy. But, you know, if you're in a one quarterback league, not a super flex, Zach Wilson doesn't project to be a top 12 quarterback. It's difficult to see the path to that. So, you know, I find, though, in the middle of the second round of a rookie draft, towards the end of the second round, he's probably the safest guy out there. Like, I'm not a Rondell Moore guy, for instance, and I took him at the 206 and a 12-team league, Zach Wilson, that is, just today. And I didn't really need a quarterback. Just, I don't think it's a great draft for rookies this year once you get past the top five at each of running back and wide receiver, and obviously Kyle Pitts. So I just think Wilson will have a decently long career and will probably be a solid number two quarterback for fantasy.
And like Lawrence, he plays right away. Maybe the other guys don't.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know, the lesson for me in that is, and I learned it through Justin Herbert last year, Mike, is that you just don't know. I mean, there were Josh Allen. There were critics and to varying degrees, but you just don't know what that's going to be. I avoided Justin Herbert last year because, like, come on. And he was great right away. So you don't know. Wilson's going to get a chance. And that's worth a lot just in and of itself. Mike, well,
I'm sorry to interject. In the draft we were in last year together, I took Herbert really late. You know why? Because somebody took Drew Locke before I could get to him. So
yeah.
There you go.
Here you go. Mike Dempsey with us here on WGR, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Speaking of rookies, Kyle Pitts in a, you know, PPR standard, one quarterback league, in a rookie draft, what do you think of Pitts first overall?
Oh, I think it's totally logical. I mean, if we're talking dynasty here, I mean, Najee Harris is already 23 years old. Not that I don't think he's good, and if you want a running back, that's your guy. If you want to go wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase is your guy, clearly. But, I mean, look at the value of a guy like Travis Kelce, who could just separate himself year after year after year, and then every year there's one or two guys in his neighborhood, but it's not always the same two guys. If you can find the next Travis Kelce in terms of fantasy impact, I mean, I think what's going to happen is people are going to take Najee Harris. He's going to have a better rookie year than Kyle Pitts. Good. That's wonderful. But I think by this time next year, you probably won't even be able to get Kyle Pitts for Travis Kelce straight up in a dynasty league. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, the fervor for Kyle Pitts is ridiculous, and I think it's well-deserved. And honestly, if after Kelce, if I had my choice right now, starting a dynasty team, I think Pitts is the guy. So I think he's already a top two dynasty tight end. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, I think, profiles. I think by this time next year, he's going to be looked at like Justin Jefferson is right now. But, you know, there are a lot of wide receivers I think that can get the job done. And Pitts is that unicorn.
Right. Well, I mean, it's such a cool year, especially in two quarterback leagues, because there's all these guys. I mean, there are tiers for sure. And it's interesting how ETN, who was one of the, you know, sexier names, at least still could turn out great, but how other guys have sort of moved in or above him in most of these drafts. Two veterans, enough with the rookies, two veterans. We've got the possibility of this Aaron Rodgers trade, Mike, really cool. You know, like, I think we can sort of be wondering through this quiet time in the NFL for the next couple of months, whether that's coming. There'll be updates all the time. Are you somebody who would be out sort of speculating on that in any certain direction, whether that's Denver receivers or like getting off of Devontae Adams in fantasy? What are you doing with the Rodgers speculation?
I think it's too late to get off Devontae Adams. I think the time to do that was the beginning of the offseason when you looked at it, and he was in every ranking the number one dynasty wide receiver, and he's like 28, going on 29 years old here, and you look at some of these other up-and-comers, and great, Adams has been so consistent. But even then, before all this blew up, you knew Rodgers might only have 1 year left in Green Bay, and I think that's going to drastically impact. I think Devontae Adams is just a hold at this point. You hold and hope for the best that Rodgers comes back, signs an extension. That would be the ideal, but even if he's just back for this year somehow, and then you try to move him when he gets off to a good start. But if you want to, I think that you speculate on Courtland Sutton coming off an ACL. His price is going to be as low as it's going to be right now, particularly because Rodgers is not there. And Jerry Jeudy was somewhat of a disappointment as a rookie. So I do think that is how you take advantage of it. I think if he gets moved, it will be Denver ultimately this year. I know I keep hearing from Denver reporters. In fact, I talked with Ryan O'Halloran with the Denver Post this morning, and he said they'd like to get two firsts and two starting players on the table for Aaron Rodgers and make it happen that way. And I've heard that from more than one guy out in Denver. I think there's some fire where that smoke is. But whether Green Bay is going to take that, we'll have to wait and see.
Right.
How about the Bills, Mike? Like you mentioned, you're going through some drafts here. Like how bullish are people on Allen, you know, runner-up in the MVP voting, Stephon Diggs setting franchise records in receiving and yards. Are people you're in touch with optimistic that's all going to continue for the Bills?
I am. In a Superflex startup draft, like just starting out, building our rosters, I had the third pick, and it went Mahomes at one, Christian McCaffrey at two, and I took Josh Allen. Tough call over Dak Prescott, who went fourth, but I took Josh Allen in the third spot. And, you know, look, they didn't do anything to add to the running game, which means I think Allen will continue to vulture touchdowns from the duo that they have right there. And, you know, he's improving as a passer. Diggs is still on the right side of 30 years old. You know, they lost John Brown, but they added Emmanuel Sanders. I don't think his weapons really drop off at all. I don't know what's not to like. You know, he's almost impossible to stop, like when it's third and four, from running for five or more yards. Love him, you know. So I don't know how everybody else feels, but I'm very bullish on Josh Allen, certainly for this year and for the near future. And Stephon Diggs is, you know, top six or seven dynasty wide receiver at worst at this point in time. So those guys now, you guys tell me, what's going to happen with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary? Who's worth investing in this year?
Well, every time we talk, I feel like I'm telling you about all my blunders. I'm doing that again today. Moss is on my team in the Football Diehards League. He was right. the one player on the Bills offense that I really wanted, you know, for the price. And, sure. You know, he wasn't bad. I did not want a new running back here because I thought it would probably mean more rushes. And these guys are okay, even Singletary. I like Moss. He's coming off a pretty bad injury in the playoffs. I think there is value there. There is some hype around Singletary, I sense, and so I wouldn't be totally out all the way on him either. You know, you get to those, what, 10th, 11th, 12th rounds, and running backs are just, they're almost all backups and dart throws, and I feel like you have a chance. Red zone, it's Allen for me, you know, like you're saying, but I think you have a chance with both the Bills guys still for some value.
Yeah, well, I hope so, because I'll tell you what, in that super flex that I'm in, we're into the ninth round now, and I have been kind of slow playing it at running back and building a heck of a wide receiver core, and I got a bunch of nice young quarterbacks, but only Cam Akers at running back, so I'm going to have to dip my toe into those next-tier running back waters here pretty soon, and I'm trying to flip a coin in my head between Moss and Singletary. Hopefully somebody will make the decision for me and only take one of those guys, and I'll get the other
right.
One.
Yeah, there is a lot of, Mike said it, there's a lot of hype. Like Singletary is, our buddy Tyler Dunn wrote a long piece about Singletary being motivated this offseason and like revamping his running stride and just really, he's been an animal in the gym. And I know that there's those stories every offseason and you can choose to roll your eyes or buy the hype, but it seems like Singletary is has been hitting it pretty hard this offseason.
So Singletary over Moss, you're telling me.
I mean, look, I'm not the one to declare that. I'm just giving you the background. You do what you think is right, Mike. You're the expert, but
I don't know about that, brother.
Doing that work.
I'm Moss, but it's almost negligible difference, and I really don't have the separation there. Well,
right.
maybe Mike, you could revamp your style, running, walking, whatever. Just if Singletary, he's going to test that theory
That's
out.
True. You know,
never stop revamping.
The more I need to take pressure off my knees, so I need to tweak the stride every now and again.
Never stop revamping. All right. Look forward to interacting with you through the off season. Bills at Jaguars, November 7th.
Yeah, baby.
Should be interesting. Interesting to watch Jacksonville this year. Mike, thanks for your time.
Hey, a pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Mike Dempsey, Football Diehards and Jaguars Today, MD_1010XL. I'm guessing you read Tyler Dunn today.
I did not get to Tyler Dunn today.
Oh.
I loved it. Remind me what it was? I forget now. I know I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Rob.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I loved it. We have to talk about that a little bit. A lot of memories came as I tweeted, thinking about Rob Johnson always puts a smile on my face. I mean, I liked my interactions with him. I always liked defending him, All the times we heard about quarterbacks from California, even still. Well, and you read that article and can be reminded of how much of a beating he took physically and maybe psychologically. Now we have a quarterback from California. I guess we're okay with him, right? Are we okay with the quarterback
but, we have? He's not from Southern California, Mike.
Right, he's not from the beach.
He's from farm country. He's from hardworking, blue-collar California. It's different.
Where's Brady from? I forgot. Just like... I can feel it right now, sort of getting geared up to defend Rob Johnson, which we're not, we're not going to take calls on him today. I mean, it's been 20 years, but he said to Tyler how he was, like, he told Tom Donahoe he wasn't coming if Donahoe picked him over Flutie. Donahoe did, and he did come back for 2001. He talked about how much he hated that season. Really good. Tyler does a great job, and... if you liked Johnson or you just maybe don't even have any reason to dislike him, I think you'll really like the job that Tyler did with him today. That's at golongtd.com, by the way. All right, let's take a break. Just saw an interesting line I want to bring up, NFL. We will talk some more after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The lady I was talking to on the plane before I got moved, we were just talking about things outside of Buffalo. And she was super nice and genuine. And we didn't really talk about football. We always talked about, like, what's going on in Buffalo and things like that. So in the back of my head, I was thinking, like, that's like the Iowa Nice that everybody likes to talk about. That's just what I felt on the plane and at the airport and then just going on the community and seeing people. And they say good luck or, hey, I saw that and that. But it's awesome. I really do enjoy it.
Spencer Brown around for Bills minicamp, another of the draft picks. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. You can reach us at 803-0550. Imagine we'll bounce around a little bit as Friday night comes closer.
Are you chuckling every time Joe reads the story about Benjamin working out as a tight end for the Giants?
No. I feel like he suffers enough, Benjamin.
Okay.
The Giants don't.
All right.
But... I've never really had any compulsion to sort of bang on Kelvin Benjamin. I didn't like their trading for him.
Yeah, right. I'm just thinking of Booger McFarland on Monday Night Football referring to Benjamin as being a Popeye's biscuit shy of being a tight end. at one point. Like that happened. I don't. And it's funny to hear him trying to work his way back into the league as a tight end now after all this time.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not in the kind of shape where I'd want to say that about a guy.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah.
Speaking of guys, speaking of NFL players we care about, Deshaun Hamilton, Joe's buddy Deshaun Hamilton, did you see this? He hasn't torn ACL.
That just came through, yeah.
So, I mean, he was down the depth chart for Denver, but the report yesterday was they were going to waive him. And Denver just had that lineman, Juwan James, have... Was this the same injury? He had Achilles, or what did he have?
He was an Achilles. Achilles,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. But it was off-site training, and there was some talk about whether Denver might be able to get out of the contract because of that.
Wonder what the timing is on this guy. Like, was yesterday we heard they wanted to waive him, and then today he's got a torn ACL. Did it happen today? I mean, it wouldn't have happened in a workout after they were going to cut him. At least like a team workout. I don't know. I only really have anything to say about him because he did a cameo for Joe. Remember that?
Wow, no. Who is this again?
Deshaun Hamilton, Broncos okay. Receiver.
Thank you. Okay. All right.
He didn't do anything at all really last year, the year before a little bit.
Okay. You know, I don't remember the cameo at all. No, I'm sorry.
Your friends got that for you? Was that it? Or you got it for yourself?
I got it for myself. As a brag to my friends in that league.
Because you won a league after Denver beat Oakland, or Denver played Oakland on the Monday night, the last game of the fantasy playoffs, like week 16 that would have been.
Yep.
And maybe he had a touchdown?
I think so. He had been playing really well at the end of that season. Like, they were out of receivers, and he was maybe like their number one target. So he was in my championship lineup.
So you went
and he was on cameo.
Paid him for a cameo for a message.
Yeah.
I'm glad this rings a bell now. Okay.
My guy Sneaky Joe, is that what he said?
My dog Sneaky Joe.
My dog Sneaky Joe.
My dog Sneaky Joe. When's the last time you watched that?
Me? This morning.
No.
No,
that's the first thing I do. I watch it.
It's not a thing you okay. Just curious.
I don't even know if I have it offhand here because I'm looking for it. I don't see it. So you might not be able to go that far in his page. I'm sure I've got it.
You haven't lost
it. My old phone somewhere. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you, speaking of that kind of thing, do you happen to have anything that was sent to you in the last couple of hours?
It's funny you ask. I do, actually. Yeah.
So, Bulldog. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know about this, right?
No, not a thing.
Not a thing. It's not that much you could know.
I don't know about anything.
What do you think the record is for the highest score on a hole in PGA Tour history?
Oh.
What's the biggest number anybody has ever made? It's not a hint, but as it happens, this score was made at the U.S. Open, which I don't know. I don't think of that as the tour, but that's what I'm told is the case here, that this happened at a U.S. Open. What's the biggest number anybody's ever posted on a hole in men's golf, professional?
Man.
What's that number going to be?
17.
So, 3 or 4 balls out of bounds?
Yeah.
In the water?
Yeah,
and you just sort of—is it turned into like a John Daly situation where you're just fed up and you're
maybe
hitting a moving ball?
Like, it's like L's that one year where he missed like how many putts from like inside a few feet on one hole.
Yep.
You pick up and like, throw your ball.
You gotta have some of that,
but you still have to get it into the hole though. The hole has to be completed.
But that'll be.
I have a feeling from your reaction that 17 is high.
all right.
I don't know. It just seems like that could happen. So, you know, we're talking all time. I'll say 17.
All time.
Yeah.
According to sources, the record is 23.
Oh, my God.
Ray Ainslie at Cherry Hills in the 1938 U.S. Open. And if you don't believe me, here's proof.
It's not the top score of the U.S. Open here at Cherry Hills, but it's certainly worth noting. Hole 16 has proven to be a problem for Ray Ainslie, once very much in this tournament, and now I'm not sure. Ainsley still struggling through hole 16. He's on the green and in great shape, just 4 feet from the hole. The problem is, a groundhog came out of the woods and has eaten Ainsley's ball. Officials telling Ainsley he has to play the ball. Ainsley now in his 10th stroke. He has his 5-iron, and yes, he whacks the groundhog again, attempting to dislodge the ball. There it is, 11, stroke 12, 13, 14, 15. This is brutal. The groundhog clearly is dead. It's ceased to move. The ball's still in there, though. Ainsley gives it another whack. There's 17, 18, 19. There's just parts of the groundhog. There's still no ball. This is disgusting. There's 20, there's 21. It's just little bits of groundhog. An inch from the hole, Ainsley has the torso lined up and he's grabbed his putter. Ainsley gives it a couple of taps. Now he's kind of just jamming the hog's torso into the hole. And that is, it's in. So score that a 23 for Ainsley. This is terrible. He should have dropped. Now Ainsley has picked up the torso and he's carrying it to the next tee. Can someone get Ainsley a new ball? House game coming up.
Ray Ainsley. How do you make a 23 in golf? That's one way. Have an animal eat the ball and then just hack at the animal.
Almost every one of these, there's just one little line that just, and in this one, it's, he should have taken a drop.
Should have taken a drop.
Squeeze that in.
Like. The announcer, these announcers get paid what they get paid for a reason. They know sports.
Right.
They know the rules of sports. Why did he just take a drop? An animal ate his ball. Trying to whack the animal with a 5-iron until the animal ends up in the hole dead? Bad choice.
See, definitely seems like it, yeah. Oh, Lordy. Wow. Well, that was a really nice Friday afternoon present. Thank you for that.
Greg Buck. So we were just watching golf today, right, Joe?
Yeah, the Champions Tour.
And how did it start? I asked you, like, what the record is for the highest score on a hole.
You told me something about Retief Goosen.
Yeah.
And then I told you I saw some clip of Scott Verplank.
No, we were
guessing at how old he was.
You were looking at last year's scores, and the guy who finished last was, like, 39 over or something like that.
31 over.
31 over.
Yeah.
So then I asked you, what's the highest hole score ever? And you looked it up, and I just...
23.
Texted Greg, like, I didn't even ask him to do anything. He must have assumed I was hoping that he would find a clip in his archives,
right?
But yeah, I guess he did.
Yeah,
I guess he did.
Clearly, that's the case.
Quick turnaround. I mean, those things are so good. I got an email yesterday from somebody in Rochester. Who said that he was talking with someone about, you had on your show a long time ago, a baseball game with, like, Captain Crunch in it.
Yeah.
And like, yes, we did. And here's where you can look. Maybe it's on YouTube. I mean, hope you can find it. Some of that stuff that Greg did is there. Captain Crunch, by the way, Commander Horatio Magellan Crunch. That's the real name.
Huh?
No, that can't be right.
It is right. Commander, he's captain, something having to do with the insignia. He can go by captain or cap'n, more accurately.
Right, it's cap'n.
Captain.
It is cap'n, yeah.
But his real name is Horatio Magellan Crunch.
How have you come to be in possession of this information?
How do I know this?
Yeah.
Because my kids and I were in the car, we were listening to a show geared toward kids, and it was mentioned. Wow. And I trust it.
It's legit.
It's a channel I trust.
Captain Crunch has a real name.
Horatio.
All right.
It's a good name.
It is a great name.
Horatio Magellan?
Yeah.
He captains a ship called Guppy.
Yeah, Guppy, that's right. That's the name of the ship. Good job.
Born on Crunch Island. There's a whole backstory in Captain
there
Crunch.
There is.
I didn't know this.
Yes, there is.
Wow.
And off the coast of Ohio, it says, is where Crunch Island is.
Okay, that we're going to have to fact check. We'll take a break. 803-0550 for us if you have any comments. We've been talking about, I forget now. We talked about,
I don't know what the hell has been happening.
There's a line you wanted to talk about.
That's right. That's right. No, we talked about the Bills and whether 12-5 is a record you would sign up for. I think that's a good one because it seems like Bulldog is saying, you know, reasonably, like, who wouldn't?
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it's not as good as last year, and it's probably not the one seed, and that's the thing this year that's going to matter the most. So if you want to weigh in, do that or tweet at us at WGR550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll be right back. This is WGR. Interesting. I was actually just looking at BetQL, you guys. The Mets at the Rays tonight. Tyler Glasnow for the Rays. And they say their model has been very successful in Glasnow's start, 75%. Check it out, BetQL, for the latest inside tips when it comes to gambling and also what the trends are that they're aware of and much more. Time now to get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Schenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Nice to see some tweets about Greg's golf clip. Although, more than once I'm being told that 19 was the actual score, not 23.
I've seen that too.
So that would make Bulldog's guess closer. Bulldog is a great guesser.
Mm-hmm.
Point spreads.
My many years of experience paying attention to frivolous bullcrap.
Yeah, that's really how you get these jobs that we have. Just pay attention to that, whatever. Yep. Say, pay attention to mostly meaningless things. Be prepared to be able to talk about meaningless things.
Oh, argue vociferously about things that mean little or nothing to you nor anyone around you. Yeah, no, it's my stock and trade.
Josh writes about our conversation from the first hour. Home field is secondary to the first round bye when it comes to the advantage of the one seed. The AFC is really deep. The Bills were an eyelash away from losing to the seed last season in round one. I would not sign for 12-5. What does the record 12-5 sound like to you, apart from the fact that it's never, you know, been an actual record until this year when it may be?
Unless you add in playoff games, right?
Yeah. On one hand, it's, yeah, I use 15 for the Bills' wins. I like 15, not 13. I like 15 more because the Sabres won 15 games.
Right.
That makes it the same number. 12-5, probably the AFC East. Definitely the playoffs. A lot of fun for sure. You win more than two-thirds of your games. But what does it mean for a seed in the playoffs? And isn't the one seed, it's not everything. You made a good point earlier when you said, remember that the one seed does not have to win. Like the Chiefs did almost lose to Cleveland last year, and the two seed, you know, the two seed has been at home for a championship round many times. So that's right. Two seed's pretty good. In fact, would you take the two seed every year the same way you say you would take 12-5 every year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah.
We have two polls up.
Ooh.
One on whether or not you knew that Cap'n Crunch's real name was Horatio. So far, 82% are saying no, they did not. And earlier, should Bills fans want Aaron Rodgers to be traded? No, 35%. Yes, 4%. Don't care, 60%. Don't care. It's only okay from strictly like a Bills sense. What difference does it make to the Bills? But, you know, most fans are going to actually have an opinion about whether they want Aaron Rodgers to be traded, right?
Right. I'm torn about it. I want him to be traded in part because I expect him to be traded, and I'm saying that, so I want to be right. That's worth a lot. I think it would be super cool and exciting if he got traded. And I guess the thought of him going to Denver and competing with Mahomes for the AFC West, I guess I'd want to say it this way right now. Maybe that increases the likelihood of getting the one seed at 12-5. Yep. Because Denver is capable of beating Kansas City, maybe even beating them twice if Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback. And, you know, maybe they're just taking each other out. So, you know, maybe I can find my way to the one because they're beating each other up. I guess a split would be more ideal than one team sweeping the other. You might expect if Denver were to sweep Kansas City that they're winning more than 12 games. So maybe a split there and they take one another out and it clears the way for me.
That is pretty much why I voted yes. I'm in the 4% that voted yes. That even from a Bill standpoint, I want a Rodgers trade because it'd be exciting and interesting. Right. And for fantasy, there'd be lots of ramifications that maybe you can get an edge from if you can predict them. Although Mike Dempsey on earlier said he really wasn't doing too much of that unless you wanted to go for like Sutton or Judy. I know that's kind of a popular
right.
idea.
I'd be buying. I wouldn't be selling. If I have Devontae Adams, I don't think I would sell. But if I was looking for Jerry Judy on the off chance he is Aaron Rodgers, 1A, 1B receiver with Sutton, like that's a guy I'm chasing on that potential.
One of my struggles in fantasy is that I can't sit still. In fact, being in as many leagues as I am helps me because you only have so much time in the day. Like I just want to be making moves all the time. And I traded for Sutton. Joe, when did we go to Fatty and watch the Sabres? Was that February or March?
February.
Maybe it was March.
Late February, early March.
Did it end the losing streak?
No, they were still on the losing streak.
Okay. So Jeremy went, a Saturday afternoon, we went, and I had traded for Sutton in Shopes and Dreams and have Judy already. He was my first-round pick last year, so now my roster is Sutton and Judy. And I looked at it, and I thought, I've got to get rid of Judy. I don't want both of them. You know, like, I don't really want both of them. So I traded Judy to Jeremy for Hollywood Brown and a better draft pick. Now, it'd be pretty cool to have them both, just in case.
No.
Yeah, because, I mean, as it's presently constructed, they don't have a quarterback where they can have two receivers really ball out and put up big production. Like, I just don't think Drew Lock. That's why the Giants' receivers are a problem right now. There's a lot of good receivers there, but is Daniel Jones going to make more than one of them statistically relevant enough to be worth owning in fantasy? If Rodgers goes to Denver, then suddenly three guys can be worth starting on a week-to-week basis.
Plus Benjamin now with the Giants, perhaps.
Right.
Cutting into Evan Engram's time.
Yes, and Kyle Rudolph.
Yes, what a tight end room.
What a room.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, so we've got all that we've covered already, and we can do more of it. 803-0550, I'm sure we will. Feel free to jump in on that. Rodgers, the 12-5 question, whatever else. Also, I've got a pizza topping question that I need to ask, and it's almost the end of the week. So what am I going to do if I don't ask it within the next 2 hours? Crisis.
Carried around all weekend? Can't have that.
No, you got to get it out. Sometimes you just have to get it out. Lines are open. Happy Friday. This is WGR.